Today's shiur is Masechta Megillah Daf Tes. We will begin on Daf Ches Amud Beis on the bottom of the Amud, the last Mishnah. We continue learning Mishnayis that teach us differences between somewhat similar situations. Says the Mishnah, Amen Sforim, the Tefillah Mezuzos, there is no difference between Sifrei Torah or Tanakh versus Tefillah Mezuzos, El Shesforim Nechtam B'chol Loshon. Sifrei Torah could be written in any language, but Tefillin and Mezuzos ain't nechtavim ela Ashuris. They have to be written in Ksav Ashuris, the Hebrew lettering of the Sifrei Torah that we know. Rishim Gamliel Ayma af besvarim, even besvarim leitiru sheyichtavu el Yevonis. They only allowed Greek, and as we will learn, what's unique about Greek, but we have to point out that the Greek that the Mishnah is referring to is not modern day Greek. It's the Yevonis that they had in those times. The Greek that the Greek people use nowadays is no different than any other language. Why Hebrew is called Ashuris? I saw two pshat. And one pshat is, it comes from the word Oysher. Oysher means wealthy. The Hebrew language, Lashon HaKodesh, is a very wealthy language because there's so much in every word that we can learn from. And another pshat is, we remember in Parashas Noach, the Dor HaFloga, that wanted to create a tower, so to speak, to fight God, and what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? At that time, the entire world was speaking Lashon HaKodesh, and at that time, he changed all the languages, and nobody understood each other. Says the Medrash, there was only one nation that didn't want to participate in this project. It was the nation of Asher. And as a reward for not participating, they were left with the Hebrew language. That's why Hebrew is called Ashuris. Says the Gemara, regarding the halacha, that when we put together the different parts of a Sefer Torah, or tefillin or mezuzos, we have to use from the veins of an animal, or the tamas yadayim, we spoke about it just recently, that midrabanan, the Gemara Masechta Shabbos, says that all Sifrei Torah are tamei, the reason being we gave two reasons. One is to avoid people touching them with their bare hands, and the other reason was that they used to store truma next to the Sefer Torah, and if mice came to eat the truma, they would come to eat the Sefer Torah also, Chas V'Shalom. Shavim, Sefer Torah, Tefillin, Mezuzos are all the same. The Poskim make a number of observations in learning this Gemara. The Bala Iter says that Gidin are not the only parts that can be used to sew together the different parts. If you would make thread out of the skin of an animal, he says, would also be of a kosher animal, it could also be used to sew together the different parts. Then I saw a very interesting shaila. The halacha, many Rishonim say, is that a mezuzah may not be made out of different urios, out of different pieces of cloth. It has to be made out of one piece of cloth. So here, Al Gemara says that you could sew together the pieces of cloth of mezuzah with a gid. It has to be one cloth. So I saw Rabbi Kivega discusses the shaila. One answer that he proposes, which many Rishonim clearly don't agree with, is that the halacha that you have to use one piece of cloth is only once you started writing the mezuzah. And then you see you don't have enough cloth, so you can't add. But let's say before you began writing the mezuzah, you take two pieces of cloth and you sew them together, that is, according to Rabbi Kivega, perhaps acceptable. Another teretz that I saw is that that's not acceptable either. But let's say you have a piece of cloth, one piece of cloth, but it has a hole, and you want to patch it together by sewing it together, that is permissible for mezuzah. The Mephoskim also ask, why doesn't the Gemara Mishnah mention another difference between Sefer Torah and Tefillin and mezuzahs? The halacha is when you write a Sefer Torah, when a Sefer writes a Sefer Torah, he has to have another Sefer Torah in front of him to copy from. By Tefillin and mezuzahs, that thing isn't there. So why doesn't the Gemara mention this difference? The Mishnah. So I saw a few terutzim. One terutz is that all of the issues and all the factors that are mentioned in our Gemara are situations that one, when he's looking at a Sefer Torah, he's looking at tefillin, looking at mezuzahs, could see. When I look at a Sefer Torah, or I look at a pair of tefillin, the parashiyos, I can't tell if the Sefer looked at a Sefer Torah when he wrote it, or didn't look at a Sefer Torah when he wrote it. So those situations are not referred to. Another teretz that I saw is that we're only speaking about situations where Sefer Torah is more kuladig, is more lenient than tefillin and mezuzahs. This is a chumrah, that a sefer Torah you have to write from another sefer Torah. Tefillin and mezuzahs you don't. We're only speaking about leniencies of the sefer Torah, not stringencies. We're going to get to it. The third teretz that I saw is that why is there a halacha that the sefer Torah you have to write from another sefer Torah? Because we're not familiar with all the words of the sefer Torah, so to make sure that you write it properly, is you have to copy a sefer Torah. Tefillin mezuzahs we're much more familiar with, the Parsha Shema, etc. So we don't have to write it. So let's say I'm writing the sefer Torah, and I come to Parsha Shema. Do I have to look at a sefer Torah? No, because I'm familiar with that parsha. So the halacha that a sefer Torah has to be written from another sefer Torah is not an absolute rule. There are exceptions in certain parts of the sefer Torah. That's why it's not mentioned. But then the Mefarshim asked Rabbi Schoenfeld's question. The halacha is that a sefer Torah could be written shalayk sidrin. It doesn't have to be written in specific order. Tefillin and mezuzahs do have to be written kesidrin. So why doesn't the Gemara mention that point? So again, one of the truths we said before applies here too. The halacha is, we're only referring to things that one looking at a sefer Torah or one looking at a tefillin can know. This, when I look at a sefer Torah or I look at tefillin, I don't know if it was written kesidrin, if it was written in the proper order or not, so that's why it's not mentioned. Another teretz that I saw is that there are circumstances that a sefer Torah has to be written kesidrin also. Two examples. Even though we can write a sefer Torah not in the proper order, Shem Hashem Yudkei Vavkei, the Shlosh says, you always have to write in the proper order. So since by a sefer Torah certain times you have to write it kesedr, so it's not a real nafkamina. Another situation is that the Gemara says in Masechta Soita that the Parsha Soita that's written has to be written kesidrin. Again, a sefer Torah has to be written kesidrin. Another teretz that I saw to this question is that there are rishonim that say that the halacha of kesidrin by tefillin and mezuzahs are not identical. By tefillin, the halacha is you have to write in the order that's written in the Torah, the parshias. By mezuzah, each parsha has to be written kesidrin, but you could write a later parsha before an earlier parsha. So if so, that's why, since tefillin and mezuzah are not identical, it's not mentioned in this Gemara. So we learned Sfarim Nechtam B'Choloshen. Sfarim can be written, Sifrei Tanakh can be written in any language. Again, there's a very big machlokes regarding what din does this refer. The Ran says a very big chiddush. The Ran says that the chiddush, that the din is, that if we write a Sefer Torah in any language, Yomekayim Mitzvah Ksiva Sefer Torah. Turi Evin takes great exception to that. I'll write a Sefer Torah in English, and I'll be Yomekayim Mitzvah Ksiva Sefer Torah. He says that can't be pshat. He says the pshat here is, as other Rishonim learn, that the Sefer has a Kedusha Sefer Torah. You perhaps could be Yoytze Mitzvah's Kriya Sefer Torah, but not that you Yoytze Mitzvah's Ksiva Sefer Torah. The Beis Yitzchak, interestingly, does hold that you Mekayim Mitzvah's Ksiva Sefer Torah, even not in Ashuris. And he has a very nice Raya. There's a Rosh. The Rosh says, we know the last Mitzvah in the Torah is Atem Kisvul Chemes Ashir Azoyz, writing a Sefer Torah. Says the Rosh, nowadays, that we are permitted to write Torah Shebel Peh, says the Rosh, nowadays, Yomekayim Mitzvahs Ksivah Sefer Torah, even in Torah Shebel Peh. So he says, it's no worse than Torah Shebel Peh. Just like you could be Mekayim the Mitzvah with Torah Shebel Peh, you could be Mekayim the Mitzvah with writing a Sefer Torah, not as Shuras. For a minute, ask the Gemara, there's a Braisa that says, Mikra Shekos of Targum. You have a piece of Pasuk that was written in Hebrew, and you wrote it in Arabic. Or vice versa, Targum Shekos of Mikra, Uksav Ivri, if you wrote it not in the Ksav Ashuris, but rather in the Ksav Ivri, the halacha is Enem Tamas Yadayim, Achich Devenu Ksav Ashuris, until you write it with the Ashuris lettering, Ala Sefer, or Bidiyoy. So here we see that it has to be written in Hebrew, different than what we learned in our Mishnah. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Eloi Kasha, Kam Begufin Shalanu, Kam Begufin Shalahen. Our Mishnah is referring when you wrote it in the Shuris lettering, in the Shuris script. So then, in other words, let's say you wrote it in English, but in Hebrew lettering. That's acceptable. That Bryce is talking when you used non-Ashuris lettering, and that's why it's not acceptable. Ask the Gemara, Amalei Abaya. So Abaya asks on this explanation. Babaya Kimta Lahi, how are you explaining the Bryce that we just learned? The Begufin Shalahed, that you didn't write it in Ashuris lettering, you wrote it in different lettering. And that's the reason that it's not considered Kisvei Kodesh. So ask Abaya, if that's the point, so my area, Mikra Shikosu Targum. The Targum Shemikosu Mikra, why does the Bryce have to be referring to a situation when he wrote Mikra like Targum? Or Targum or Mikra? I feel a Mikra Shikosu Mikra. Even if it's a situation where you wrote the Mikra as Mikra. Or Targum Shikosu Targum, Nami, it should still be disqualified. Doktani. The problem is the script that you used. So why does the Bryce have to be referring to a case of Targum Mikra? Mikra Targum, that's not the issue. The issue is that you didn't write it in a Shuris. Says the Gemara, El Akasha, different Targum. Harabonon. The Mishnah is going according to Rabbanon that says that a Sefer Torah that was written not Ksav Shuris is acceptable. Tanach, Harashim Gamliel. The Bryce is going according to Shim Gamliel who requires a Shuris. Ask the Gemara, Ear of Shimon Gamliel, if you're saying that this price is going according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, Hikki Yavonis. The price Rav Shimon Gamliel says, yes, all other languages aren't acceptable. But he says you have to, the only languages that it's acceptable is Greek. And this price says every language is unacceptable. Eloi Kasha, says the Gemara, Kambis Svarim. The Mishnah is talking about Svarim. They don't have to be Ashuris. Kambit Tefillin Mezuzos. The price is referring to Tefillin Mezuzos. They must be Ashuris. Ask the Gemara, Tefillin Mezuzos Mai Tama, what's the reason that we're more stringent by Tefillin Mezuzos and say that they have to be Ashuris? Shundik Sivahu, because the Torah uses the words in the parashas of Tefillin Mezuzos for Hayu, Baviyosin Yehei, they have to be the way they're written in the Torah in Ashuris. But ask the Gemara, if you're saying that the Braisa is referring to a situation of Mikra Shekos of Targum, and Targum Shekos of Mikra, ask the Gemara, my Targum Shikosu Mikra Ikra. Where do we have a situation at Tefillin Mezuzos that we have a word that's Targum that you decided to write in Hebrew? Because the Gemara explains, Bishlam Torah, if we're speaking about a Sefer Torah, there we could find such a situation. Ika Yigar Sudosa, which is Arabic, and you would write the word Galate. Ela Hocha my Targum Ikra. So how could you say that the Bryce is referring to Tefillin? And they're talking about a situation where you took a word of Targum and you wrote a Mikra, there is no such a situation. So that can't be the case of the Braisa. Says the Pnei Yeshua, we're dealing with a Gemara. There has to be a Pshat or a Havamina in the Gemara. So he says a beautiful Pshat. One of the words in Krishma is the word Taitophis. The word Taitophis have two explanations. One explanation is Taitophis, four boxes. Famous Gemara, she came by Africa, you call it Tat. Tat is called two. And another place, pass is called too. That's how we get the four boxes. Or, tatafis means to look at. That you have to wear the tefillin shiroish, they should be visible. The havamina held that tatafis is not a Hebrew word. So we have a case in tefillin and mezuzahs where we have targum, shikosu, mikra. The maskana holds tatafis is a Hebrew word. It means to look at. And that's why the Gemara is asking, where do we have a situation in tefillin and mezuzahs of targum, shikosu, mikra? So we're back to our kasha. How do we reconcile the Mishnah and the Braisa? So the Gemara like Kasha, Kamba Gila, Kamba Sforim. The Mishnah is referring to Sefer Torah that has to be that could not necessarily be written in Hebrew. A Megillah could be has to be in Hebrew. Megillah Maitama. Ask them why does Megillah have to be written in Hebrew? The Ksiba Kiksavam Klishoinam. Since the Torah uses the word Kiksavim L'shoinam, the Torah oven says that we should follow the Pasuk Kiksavim Kuzmanam, meaning that it has to be Hebrew. Ask the Gemara, my Targum Shikosu Mikra Ika, where we have a situation in the Megillah that there's a word Targum that you would write Mikra, Amra Papa, the Megillah speaks about Nishba Pizgam HaMelech, the king's word. Pizgam is an Arabic word, and you, instead of writing Pizgam, wrote the Hebrew word. Nachma Yitzchakama, The Megillah says, "V'kol anoshim yitnu yokor lebaleim." Yokor is an Arabic word, Targum word, which means covered. So as Tosfos explains, now the way we understand to reconcile the Mishnah and the Braisa is that the Braisa is going according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, and even though normally Rav Shimon Gamliel does allow that Mikra should be written Yevonis, Megillah is an exception to the rule because of the pasuk Ksavim Kizmanam, it only could be Hebrew. Other Rishonim say it's going even according to the Rabbanon, and even the Rabbanon who hold normally has it could be any language will hold again that the Megillah is an exception to the rule, it has to be Hebrew. ask Tosfos on Daf Ches Mabez, a Gevaldige Kasha. We're going to learn on Daf Yud Ches that if under certain circumstances you could read the Megillah not in Hebrew, if you understand that language. In other words, Hebrew we're going to learn, everybody can read Yotz Mikra Megillah even if you don't understand. Other languages, it depends if you understand. So if you could read the Megillah in English, provided you understand the English and you understand every word, so then the Megillah is kosher. So how could the Gemara be saying over here, as Tosfos, that the Megillah has to be Hebrew? The Megillah could be any language. Answers Tosfos, and this is the way the Brisker Rav explains Tosfos Teretz, that there are two dinim in Mikra Megillah. There's one din that you have to hear the Megillah, you have to hear the story. And that, as we said, the Gemara will teach us, it doesn't have to be in Lashon Kodesh. Provided you understand the language, it's kosher. But our Gemara is not speaking about Hilchos Mikra Megillah today. Our Gemara is speaking about what is considered a kosher Megillah. A kosher Megillah is only when it's Hebrew. That means you can be Mekayim the Mitzvah Mikra Megillah, but that should have a status of Kitzvei HaKodesh, that's a different din, and that the Gemara is teaching us has to be in Ashuris. Rav Ashi says a different teretz. Ki tanyahi, this braisa is b'shas form. He's differentiating between Torah versus Nevi'im Ksuvim. From Yehudihi, and it represents the position of Yehuda. The Tanya, as we learned in the braisa, tefillah mezuzos ein nechtavim el Ashuris. They could only be written in Ashuris. Rabbeinu Yisrael Yitir Yivonis, they allowed them to be written in Greek. Ask the Gemara, how could you say that? As we just learned, that the Torah says by Tefillah Mezuzos V'Hayu, it can't be any other language. Ella changes the Gemara, the Geras of the Braisa. Svarim Nechtam B'Chal Lashon, Svarim can be written in any language. V'Tiru Yitiru Yivonis, they could say Greek. Says the Gemara, Tiru, if they're saying Greek is acceptable, B'Chal the Tanakama Asur. And we just learned that the Tanakama says he could use any language. Again, tries the Gemara again. Ella Emre B'Seinu Lo Yitiru Shichtavu El Yevonis. The Rabbi Nisenu only, the Tanakhama says all languages, and the Rabbi Nisenu say only Greek. On that, Amr Rabbi Yehuda, Vatanya Amr Rabbi Yehuda, Afkashir Tiri Rabbi Nisenu Yevonis, when Rabbi Nisenu said that Greek is permitted, Lo Yetir El B'Sefer Torah. When did they say Greek is permitted? B'Sefer Torah. Umshir Maisa B'Tal Me'a Melech. But not by Nevi'im and Ksuvim. So now we have a very nice explanation. The Mishnah is going about Sefer Torah. Sefer Torah could be written in Yevonis, or maybe different language, but certainly Yevonis. The Brice is talking about Nach, and Yehuda holds that Nach must be Ashuris. However, Tosfos makes an observation. Tosfos says, there's a perek in Masechta Shabbos called Perek Al Kisvei, that discusses Rechmon al Tzlon, on Shabbos there's a fire, what could you save and how you could save it. And the perek begins, Kol Kisvei HaKodesh, Metzilon HaSon. We could save Kisvei HaKodesh. Says Tosfos, even Rabbi Yehuda will agree that if you have a Nach written in English, you could save it on Shabbos, even though he's saying that you shouldn't translate it into any other languages. So we're learning that Sefer Torah according to Rabbi Yehuda is different than Nach, and a Sefer Torah could be written in other languages, not Nach. Why is the Sefer Torah different? Shemais the Talmei HaMelech. Because the famous story that happened with Talmei HaMelech, the Tanya Maisa of Talmei HaMelech, there was a story with Talmei HaMelech. Shekinei Shivim V'Shashayim Zekenim. He gathered together 72 Zekenim. What's the number 72? Mefarshim explained, there are 71 members in the Sanhedrin, plus the Nasi, you have 72. V'chnisim V'Shivim V'Shnayim Batim. He put them into 72 separate, secluded homes. V'Legilahem Amah Kinsim. When he took them, he didn't tell them why. V'Nichnasei Tzokal Echad V'Echad. And he went separately to each one of them. I want you to translate the Torah. Each one of them had Ruach HaKodesh. And they all agreed when the final product of all 72 of these Chachamim was the exact same translation. It was a tremendous nace. So before we go further into the Gemara, so what's the explanation? So the way the Chazanish explains the Gemara is that even though midrabbanon it should be usher to write Sefer Torah in any other language, but since we saw there was such a tremendous nace that happened with the translation by Talmei HaMelech, that's why Chazal will make on translating Sefer Torah into Greek. Others explain that it's maybe even also a deraisa, and yet because it was permitted then, it's always permitted. But I want to make a few points. Number one, there's a Chassam Sofer, the Satmar Rebbe both discussed this. One should not think, the Gemara says here, there was a tremendous nais by the translation of Talmud HaMelech, that this was some sort of wonderful situation. Chassam Sofer says in Megillas Tainus, that Ches Tevis is a Tainus. Why is Ches Tevis a Tainus? Because that was the day that this translation was delivered to Talmud HaMelech, and it says that for 3 days the world was covered in darkness, because it was a terrible situation that they translated the Sefer Torah. And he explains why. He says, because when we have the Sefer Torah in the original version, we know from every Hebrew word there's so much to learn. When you translate it, you lose all of that. And that's why he says it was a terrible situation. Satmar Rebbe explains, and he quotes Midrashim to prove the point, that what happened was that the changes that they made specifically for Talmud HaMelech, which we'll discuss in a moment in the Gemara, became permanent. And that's why it was such a tzara. And here the Mefarshim discuss the issue of translating a Sefer Torah. There's a tshuva in the Gris Moshe about it. The Rishonim say that certainly it's not permitted, only in Greek, and we said that the Greek that we have nowadays is not the real Greek. The Ramban says, because of Eis Lasis Lashem, Hefer Torasecha, you're allowed to translate it. But Ramosha says the one that undertakes a project of translating the Sefer Torah should realize what a serious undertaking he's taking, and it has to have value. You know, we can't just translate the Sefer Torah if there's nothing to be gained by the reader. There's also interesting mashal. The mashal says that the Gemara Masechta Bava Kamma, the two Roman officers came and they said, we want to learn Torah. And they were taught the Torah, and they said, everything is great. There's only one thing that we can't accept. The halach is, the Gemara says Masechta Bava Kamma, that if a Jew's axe does damage to a non-Jew's property, the Jew is potter. And if a non-Jew's axe does damage, there's a difference. If by Jew, there's always a difference between a tam and a mu'ud. By the goy, there's no such a difference. They couldn't accept that. So the mashal says, some people say the ani mamon every day will remember this. Shazoyis haTorah lo yisatahei muchlefes. Every word of the Torah is sacred. We're not allowed to change, and we can't change that. So how could they make changes here? So mashal says here was a situation of sakonas nefashos, or he says since they felt that they were having ruach hakodesh, so must be that they realized they were doing the right thing, that there was a permission to do it, but certainly not something that we should undertake. Translating and certainly changing the words of the Holy Torah. So Gemara goes through the examples of what was changed. The first change was Elokim Bara Bereshis. We know the Torah begins with the words Bereshis Bara Elokim. At the beginning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. The way Tosfos explains, they couldn't believe that the Torah wouldn't begin with the words with God's name. So what did they make the mistake? Would they make the mistake? The Bereshis refers to a name of God, which is a terrible mistake. So that's why they said, Elokim, God, Bara Bereshis. We know that it doesn't have to begin with Hashem's name. So I saw two pshatim in this. One pshat is, we know, the Gemara says in Masechta Makis, that when you make a condition, it has to be Tanai Koidim L'maisa. First the condition, and then the actual act that we want to do. Bereshis, we know, is a Tanai. Tanai Hisna Kodesh Baruch Hu, in Masa Bereshis, that if Klai Yisrael keeps the Torah, fine, if not, not. Bereshis is the Tanai, Bara is the Maisa. That's why we have to have Bereshis first. Another pshat I saw is the last words of the Torah are La'ene Kol Yisrael. The first words of the Torah are Bereshis Bara Lakim. What does La'ene Kol Yisrael mean? The Klai Yisrael live with Amuna. La'ene Kol Yisrael, we Klai Yisrael, who live with Amuna, have no problem with the Torah beginning with the words Bereshis Bara Elokim. That won't turn us in the wrong direction, take away our Amunah. Next, it says in the Pasuk that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Nas Odom B'Tzalmeinu B'Dmeseinu. As Rashi teaches us in Chumash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mikam, we learn that even a greater person should take advice from a smaller person. He said, Es Odom B'Tzalmeinu B'Dmus. They changed it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said it himself, that they shouldn't come to believe there was more than one God. Another change. It says, we know, we say it every Shabbos, V'chal b'yoyim hashvi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu completed his work on Shabbos. They couldn't understand that because Shabbos you're not supposed to work. So they changed it. V'chal b'yoyim hashvi v'yizbesh b'yoyim hashvi. What is pshat? What HaKadosh Baruch Hu created on Shabbos was menucha. But a guy doesn't appreciate that menucha is a real concept. And that's why they couldn't understand what pshat v'chal b'yoyim hashvi. Zoch v'nekeva boroi v'loi kisu borom. In the pasuk it says borom, and they wrote boroi one. So the way the Mashal explains, in one pasuk it says boroi, and one says it's borom, which they can understand the contradiction. We understand it, because we understand the first HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to create them as one, and then he decided to separate them. Given that they couldn't understand that, that's why they changed borom, which is the plural, to boroi, to one. Again, similar to what we had before, Hove Erdav Evel Shem Sfasam, when the Kadosh Baruch Hu mixed up the world by the Dor HaFloga, he says Ner Do, that Kadosh Baruch Hu again took advice from his Bezdin Shemala. They wouldn't understand it, so they changed it to the singular. The Titzach Sarah B'Krevel. So the way Rashi explains it is that the Torah says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu informed Avram and Yitzchak, Avram and Sarah, that they're going to have a child, they both Titzchak laughed. Yeah, we don't find that the Torah has any problem with Avram Avinu's laughing, and he does have a problem with Sarah. Lama zeh tzachaka Sarah, Hashem says to Avram. What's the difference? Because there's different types of laughter. Avram laughed because he was glad, he was happy. Sarah laughed because she couldn't believe it. But they couldn't understand why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu not treating Avram the way he treated Sarah, or vice versa. So they changed the Titzchak Sarah B'Krevet. She didn't laugh about herself, she laughed amongst other people. So we could understand why HaKadosh Baruch Hu was angry at Sarah. What are you laughing amongst other people? It says that when Shimon and Levi killed the city of Shechem, it says in the pasuk, "Kibapam hargu ish." They killed a person, but they didn't want to say that they killed a person. So it says, "Kibapam hargu shor uvetzayim ikur avos." They called him an animal. What's the point? The Mefarshim explained they were allowed to kill Shechem because they did something an animal does. Animals doesn't have a concept of not taking someone else's thing without permission. They took Dino without permission. Another pshat is that they did acts of immorality. The whole city protected Shechem, and that's why they considered like a shor. V'yikach Moshe's ishtev esponov, v'yikivem al noise b'nei odom. It says the Moshe took his family and took him on a donkey. But that's inappropriate, because a donkey, Moshe, who's the king of Klal Yisrael, and is in a rush to get to Mitzrayim to save Klal Yisrael, starts riding on a donkey. So they changed the title, Noisei B'nei Adam, that he carried in something that carries a person. So I saw a very nice pshat. Rashi and Tosfos say the exact same thing, that it's disrespectful that Moshe went on a donkey. So far as Shemask, I heard this many times from my Rebbe, Rishmuel Birnbaum. A Tosfos is not here just to repeat what Rashi says. Here, Tosfos is mamish repeating Rashi's words. What's Tosfos adding? So I saw a very nice pshat. Rashi is looking at it from the perspective of Moshe Rabbeinu. How you, Moshe Rabbeinu, Melech Yisrael, in a rush to save Klal Yisrael, are riding on a donkey. Tosfos is looking at it from the perspective of Klal Yisrael. How can you, Klal Yisrael, allow your leader to ride on a donkey? So Mefarshim asks, so why didn't they change? By Avram Avinu, it also says that he went on a donkey to the Akedah. Why didn't they change that? So they say a very nice teretz. By Avram, everybody knew he was wealthy. The Torah says he was wealthy. So there's no reason to be concerned that they're going to start thinking that our leader is now wealthy. By Moshe Rabbeinu, the Torah never calls him wealthy. That's why there was more of an issue. Continues the Gemara. It says in the Torah, O Moshe Rabbeinu Yisrael, Shiyosh Mitzrayim, Uvashar Rotus Abameshon. It says that Klai Yisrael and Mitzrayim 400 years. And as Rashi makes the calculation, it's not possible that they were there that long. So, if they would have the pasuk as it says, they could make a mistake. That's why it says, Moshe Bnei Yisrael, Ubishar Rotzeis. You start counting from when Yitzchak was born until when we left Mitzrayim, it's 400 years. V'yishlach Ezatue Bnei Yisrael. It says, V'yishlach Ezanari Bnei Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu sent the Narim, the young people. Why do you send young people? Number of pshatim, nari can mean the b'chayrim, At that time, the Avodah was by the Bechayrim. Another Peshat was Narma, people who didn't do any Aveira. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted the Avodah to be done by people who were still pure. Nari could mean energetic. They wanted to use energetic people, but they wouldn't understand. You send children to do the Avodah, so they changed it to the words Zatu Ibn Yisrael. There's another Pasuk that says, V'Atzili Ibnei Yisrael L'Sholach Yodai. Atzili means the great people. Again, they wanted to have the same word used, so they used the word Zatule. Again, Moshe Rabbeinu in Parashas Korach says, L'chamar Echem Mem Nesosi. I didn't take one donkey. So if we only have with that Pasuk, it would mean he didn't take a donkey, but he maybe took something else. So they changed it, L'chem Echem Mem Nesosi. Anything anybody would want, I didn't take from you. The Pasuk says, Ashechalak Hashem Elakecha Itam, that Kadosh Baruch Hu made Avodah Zarah in the world. So if we would read the Pasuk, the Goyim could think that Avodah Zarah does have real ability. So it says, Lahar L'cholam, all it does, it just gives light, because it's talking about the Shemus Yireyach, the sun and the moon. V'yelch v'yavar al-chim al-cherim, ashloit sivisi. They added the word La'avdam. Because if it would just say V'yelch v'yavar al-chim al-cherim ashloit sivisi, it would seem to mean that they are gods, there are other gods, which would be a terrible misrepresentation, so they added the word La'avdam. The kasulai es atziris reglayim. One of the non-kosher animals mentioned in the Torah is our neves, is a rabbit. So they didn't write the word aneves, they wrote tziris reglayim, the animal with short feet. For like kasulai es aneves, they didn't write the word aneves. Why? When they ishtar shal talmei aneves shema, the wife of Talmei's name was aneves. Shalayim esachaku bi yehudim, the Jews are ridiculing me, v'yatilu shem ishtar b'Torah, and they mentioned my wife as a non-kosher animal in the Torah. So sort of Paradis Yosef asks a simple question. If his wife had a name, Arneves, so why would he be insulted? That's her name. Her name is Rabbit. So Paradis Yosef says a beautiful teretz. He says, all the non-kosher animals in the Torah that are listed v'loshen zachar. The only animal that's, the only non-kosher animal that's listed in the Keva, in the feminine, is the Arneves. So he would say, why did the Torah pick Arneves? Why is Arneves here? It's a Lashon Nekeva. All the other animals that are not kosher listed Lashon Zachar. It must be, because you want to make fun of my wife. So to avoid that, they wrote at Tziris Reglayim. This was the neis of Talmei HaMelech. Rishim Gamaliel Omer, Af B'Svarim Lechtiru, Sheyichtav Al Yevonis. Also by Svarim, they did not allow it only to be written in Greek. Amar Avu, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Halach Rav Shimon Gamliel. The Halach is like Rav Shimon Gamliel, only Greek is permissible, and as we said earlier, it's not the Greek that we have nowadays. V'Amar Rabbi Yochanan, my time to Rav Shimon Gamliel. What's the basis that Greek is different? Amar Kro, because the Pasuk says, back in Parashas Noach, Yafto Lekim LeYefes, V'Yishkan V'Lekei Shem. Dvarav Shal Yefes, the words of Yefes, Yiu V'Olei Shem, will be in the home of Shem. And Yavon was a descendant of Yefes. Says the Gemara, asked the Gemara, if we're looking of descendants of Yefes, Gomer and Magog are also descendants of Yefes. So maybe it's their language that the Torah could be written in. Aram Chibar Abba, Hayne Diksiv, Yaftel, this is the reason. Diksiv Yaftel Akim LeYefes. If you say Shal Yefes, the nicest language from all of the descendants of Yefes, Yubel Hashem. And from all the languages that exist from the descendants of Yefes, the nicest one is Yevonis Greek. We know that originally a Kohen Gadol, when he was appointed with Shemen HaMishcha. We anoint him with a special Shemen HaMishcha. But then there was no longer any Shemen HaMishcha. So how was a Kohen Gadol appointed? He becomes a Meruba Begadim. He wears the 8 big dekuna, not just the 4 big dekuna that a Kohen Hagid works. Wears. Says the Mishnah. There is no difference between a Kohen Gadol who was appointed with the Shemen HaMishcha and the Meruba Begadim, Ela Parabah Kohen Mitzvahs. Only regarding the Parabah Kohen Mitzvahs. The halach is that if a Kohen Gadol rules on an Aveira for which B'mezit is a Chiyuv Koros and B'shagid is a Chiyuv Chatos, rules erroneously and acts on that improper ruling, he doesn't bring a regular carbon from a kispa or seira, he brings it from a par, from a bull. Only which kohen, says the Gemara, does that apply to? a Kohen Gadol who was appointed with the Shemen HaMishra. Another halacha. Ein ben Kohen Mishamish, the Kohen Shavar. There is no difference between a Kohen Gadol. Let's say there's a Kohen Gadol who's in, who's the Kohen Gadol, and something happens that he becomes disqualified temporarily from doing the Avodah, so we appoint somebody else. Then when he comes back, so the Kohen that had his position is called Kohen Shavar. Elo, the only difference is, Par Yom Kippurim Vasiris Eifa. The halach is that we learned Masechta Yuma, the Kohen Gadol brings on Yom Kippur a special par. That only applies to the practicing Kohen Gadol, not to the one who was a Kohen Gadol only temporarily. And the halach is the Kohen Gadol has to bring every day a Karban Mincha of a Siris Eifa, half brought in the morning, half brought in the afternoon. That only applies to the practicing Kohen Gadol, not to the one that's the Kohen Sha'ava. And here we see, so the Shem Tzionam Balacha Paskins from here, that when we have a question, let's say somebody had a public position, he was about tefillah, and then he never got sick. And Baruch Hashem, he gets well. So now, and during the time he was sick, somebody else was appointed. Who has the right to daven now? He says the original about tefillah has the right to go back to his chazaka, as we see here. There's another question that the Mefarshim ask, that it says in the Mishnah Masechta Avos, there were Sara Nisim that happened in the Beis HaMikdash, and one of the Nisim was that the La'ira carried the Kohen Gadol, the Kohen Gadol never became Tamei. So how could it be that Kohen Gadol became disqualified that somebody else was replacing him? So one teretz is that nes was only in the Beis HaMikdash Rishon. Here we're referring to Beis HaMikdash Sheni. Another teretz is that the psul of Keri that he had in a mission, that never happened. But there could be different disqualifications. He gets sick, chas v'shalom, or something else that could happen even to Kohen Gadol. Says the Gemara, Hol in Par Yom Kippurim, regarding the halacha of a Kohen that was anointed or a Kohen that was appointed by the extra begadim, Zev v'zeh shavim. Both Kahanim are the same. Says the Gemara, Masnis and like Rameya. Our Mishnah doesn't agree with the sheet of Rameya. The Rameya teaches us, Atanya, Meruba begadim, Nevi parabah kol mitzvahs, Divrei Rameya. A person that is only appointed with extra begadim, not with the Shemar Mishka, brings the special bow. My Tamad Rameya. What's the reason for Rameya? The Tanya, Mashiach. The Kohen HaMashiach brings the special bow. Eili El Mashuch B'Shemen. That only teaches me the Kohen that was appointed by being anointed with oil. B'Shemen HaMishka, Meruba Begadim Anayim. How do we know if he was just appointed by getting the extra begadim, the shemayin begadim, that then applies to him? Tamalayma, HaMashiach, the extra hay. So Rameya says that even the meruba begadim brings the special bull. So I'm our Mishnah that says that the meruba begadim does not bring the special power, but Maya Kimna, like Rameya, obviously doesn't agree with Rameya. Ask the Gemara, Amos Sefer, let's continue learning our Mishnah. There's no difference between a Kohen that's doing the Avodah, the real Kohen. The Kohen Shavah, the Kohen that was only there temporarily, as we learned in the Mishnah, Ela Par Yom Kippurim, Asir Seifa. These special dinim. Halachol Dvrayim, regarding everything else, Zev Zeh Shavim. They're the exact same. Aslan Rameya, that is Rameya Shitta. The Tanya says in the Braisa, Ir Absol, if a disqualification happened to the Kohen Gadol, and they appoint a substitute. And then Baruch Hashem, whatever disqualification caused the first Kohen to step aside, goes away. The first Kohen Gadol goes back to his position. Sheni, kol mitzvos kuna gedola olav. He's considered a full-fledged Kohen Gadol. Divrei Rameya. Which is exactly what our Mishnah said. Rabbi Yosi Omer, Rishon Chayz Levadasai, the first Kohen goes back to his position. However, Sheni, Ein Roi, Loi Lekohen Gadol, Loi Lekohen Hedjet. He can't be either. Vam Rabbi Yosi, Maisa, Rabbi Yosi ben Ilam Bitzipuri, there was a story with this person, Shir by Pesul Kohen Gadol, that there was some sort of disqualification that happened to Kohen Gadol, Umeniyu Tachtov, and then they took somebody in his place temporarily. Or Ba Maislef Nechachamim, Vamru Risha Chayzlav Adasai, the first kohen goes back to his position. Sheni, the second one who served in this substitute position, any royal loyal kohen gadol loyal kohen kaidajit, can't be either. Kohen gadol, we can't let him be a kohen gadol, b'shem evil. Because if the kohen gadol, if the real kohen gadol, sees him walking around wearing the shemayin begadim, acting like a kohen gadol, it'll cause jealousy. It's difficult for him. Kohen hedjit, he can't go back to being a kohen hedjit. B'shemal b'kodesh v'loy meridin. So he's not a regular kohen and not a kohen gadol. So here, Rabbi Yossi, here the second part of our Mishnah is going obviously like Rameya, not like Rabbi Yossi. So ask the Gemara, Reish Rabbonon, the Reish were not accepting Rameya's position. Sefer Rameya, we are accepting Rameya's position. Amr of Chizda in. Yes, Reish reflects the position of Rabbonon. The Sefer represents the Shita of Rameya. Not a problem. Rabbi Yosef Omer, a different explanation. Rebbe he, the author of our Mishnah was Rebbe. The Nosser Libet Tanoi. Rebbe, in every machloikas, chose a position. In the first machloikas, he chose the position of Rabbanon. In the second position, he chose the machloikas of Rameya. So Taisa says he doesn't understand Rabbi Yossi's position. Rabbi Yossi's position is that this kohen, who was temporarily kohen gadol, we can't let him be kohen gadol, we can't let him be kohen hedjet. He's nothing. Ask Taisus, his position, how did he get this position? He got this position because he was appointed by Beis Din. So Beis Din could undo what they did and let him come back a regular kohen. So Taisus says, you're right. If not for the concept of Malam B'Kodesh V'Loy Meridin, we could do that. But Malam B'Kodesh V'Loy Meridin doesn't allow me to undo what we did. And the way Rav Chaim Brisker explains Taisus, he says there's two parts to being a kohen gadol. The one is that he's appointed to being a kohen gadol. So that appointment could be theoretically undone. But there's another concept to being a kohen gadol. The other concept of being a kohen gadol, says Rav Chaim, is that there are certain halachas that apply to a kohen gadol. Once those halachas apply, you can't undo that. And that's what Rav Yossi means. I saw from the Sklana Rebbe, Malam B'Kodesh V'Loy Meridin. Why do you have to say Malam B'Kodesh V'Loy Meridin? We should just say Malam B'Kodesh. The once you're elevated, that's it. What do we have to, you only go up. What do we have to add? Obviously Loy Meridin. What do we have to also say Loy Meridin? So he says a beautiful word. Malam B'Kodesh. A person constantly has to grow in Avodas Hashem. And let's say a person says, you know, I'm not going to grow. I'm going to remain status quo. V'Loy! If you're not Malam B'Kodesh, if you don't grow, V'loy, if you don't, then Meridin. There's no such thing as a status quo. If you don't go up, you're going down. Says the Mishnah. Ein bein bama gedoyle bama ktana. At certain points in Klal Yisrael's history, Shiloh, Noi, v'Givayin, even though they didn't have a Mizbeach, they had a bama. Says the Mishnah. And at that time, you could also have a bama in your own yard. The bama that was the central bama was called bama gedoyle. The bama, the private bama, is called bama ktana. Ein bei bama gedoyle bama ktana el psochem. That an bama gedoyle you could bring a karm pesach, not an bama ktana. Zeh klal. Kol shen nidav nidav, anything that we could donate, karba bama, because ein nidav loy nidav, ein a karba bama cannot be brought in the bama. Ask the Gemara, psochem v'suloy, is the only thing that you could difference psochem, eima k'ein psochem. What makes psochem unique? Two qualities. Number one, it's a karban rabim, carbon tzibur, and number two, it's brought in at a specific time. So carbon tamid falls into that category. Mani, who is the Tanav our Mishnah of Shimon? The Tanya of Shimon Omer, af tzibur like krivu el psachim, the chayvus shikfu lemzvan. A chayv that has a specific time, like a carbon tamid. Av a chayvus shenkfu lemzvan. Let's say there's a carbon chayv that doesn't have a specific time, like a parhelm dovish of tzibur. That hachvach like karav cannot be brought not in a bama gedoyle, not a bama ktana. That means in a bama ktana, as the Mishnah tells us, you could bring a carbon yachid. In a bama gedoyle, you could bring a carbon tzibur, but it has to be a carbon tzibur that has a specific time. And something that's a carbon tzibur that doesn't have a specific time cannot be brought only on a mizbeach on no type of bama.